So what is able to change the heart of a sinner? God's Word. Go with me. We're going to journey through the book of Acts chapter 2 this evening. Go with me to Acts chapter 2. And I want to start by reading verses 14 and 15. And then I'll skip down to verses 22 and 24. Acts 2, 14 and 15, and then verses 22 and 24. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." And verses 22 through 24, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word, first and foremost. I thank you for you and yourself and what you have done for lost sinners like us, and allowed your Spirit to work through your word to save us. Save many of us in this room and those that don't know you, dear Lord. I pray that they would come to know you. For faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's your word that we need preached and proclaimed. And it's your word that needs to go forth. It's your word that needs to be heard, dear Lord. And as Peter stood firm on your word and preached it with boldness, dear Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would go from here with even more boldness, preaching and proclaiming your truth to the world that is in front of us, that more people may hear your word and come to know you as their Lord and Savior. So be with us this evening. Allow our hearts and our minds to be open to your word, and allow us to take it with us wherever we go and use it to further your kingdom. In Christ's name I do pray, amen. So who is Peter speaking to, and why? Who is Peter speaking to, and why? Go with me to, back to the beginning of chapter 2. We'll read the first 11 verses for a moment. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound of the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, 'Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that I hear each of us in his own native language?' The Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites and the residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya and belonging to the Cyrene and the visitors of Rome, both Jews and the proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Okay, so who was Peter speaking to? Every known Jew in the world. All of them coming through, coming together And why were they coming together? Because it was Pentecost, and the Jews were to go to the temple, wherever you were at, to worship God on this day. And there were no exceptions. None. And many of them came. Crowds and the drones came. And the Holy Spirit gave the disciples the special talent to speak in each one of their languages, known languages, the gospel message. And they were all astonished. They were amazed. They didn't know how this was happening. Let me comment a little bit about today. Today, for those of you that don't know, it's Ash Wednesday. And I have about 12 Catholics that demanded we have an Ash Wednesday service. After all, they've always had an Ash Wednesday service, and so it was tradition. They wanted the Catholic priest to come. They wanted ashes to be put on their foreheads. They wanted to take Holy Communion. And so they came, and they were devout Catholics. Some of them, most of them, have never done an activity since I've been there. But we were going to do Ash Wednesday service. The speaker came, delivered the service flawlessly, and all the residents that attended the service enjoyed it immensely. They were very thankful and grateful to have it. But the question was, in my mind, did anything that you hear coming from this man, did it change your heart? Did it draw you closer to Jesus? I want to read some more from Acts 2:29. Starting with verse 29-33 and then verse 36. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. This Jesus God raised up, that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. Like I was saying, no one today that I can see, that I know, no one today was saved by the man's great words, and no one showed signs of repentance. There was no change of heart. There was no turning away from their sin and turning to God. Excellent speaker. No doubt. Educated man, absolutely. Had great things to say and made them feel good. You bet he did. But without the truth from God's word, there's still 12 Catholics on the way to hell. Which leads me back to Acts 2. What does a change of heart look like? Where does change of hearts come from? It comes from God's Word. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. if Peter had just spoken to all these Jews about, even about his time with Jesus, even about his miracles that he witnessed, even about one of the greatest, one of my favorite accounts, when they're fishing and they can't find any fish, and Jesus just tells them to drop the net on the other side, and they think, oh, okay. And he's able to lift this entire net full of fish by himself, realizing that it's God, and swims to meet him, and he's eager to meet him, and he's excited, and they have this wonderful breakfast. Even if he shares all those good things, those nice times, it wouldn't have helped them. No, Peter had to open up to them God's Word. He had to open up to them the gospel message. He had to open up to them God's truth of what God did through His Son as Jesus came, as Matthew 1:21 tells us, came to save His people from their sins. He came to die on the cross. He took upon Himself our sins and gave us, those that believe in Him, His righteousness. Peter had to speak this truth to this massive crowd. He wasn't worried or concerned about, I hope they enjoy it. I hope they enjoy this message. I hope I encourage and uplift somebody in the crowd. I hope the people came from all over the known world really enjoy this message that I'm about to bring them. He was not caring about their feelings whatsoever. He cared more that he was pleasing the God that saved him and wanted people to know that God. And speaking that truth is the only thing that's going to change hearts of the lost souls, as we read on in Acts 2, starting with 37. Now, when they heard this message, when they heard what Peter said, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do now? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive, you see, as you repent and call on the name of the Lord, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this is the promise for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God has called to Himself, or calls to Himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, continuing to proclaim the gospel. He continued to exhort them, to teach them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received this word, his word, were all baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. A change took place in all their hearts, in the 3,000 souls. A change took place in their hearts and their minds. Not from hearing a educated speech, but from hearing the very word of God. And the evidence was seen in their lives. They heard the word of God. It pierced their hearts. They were given that in the moments that would come after hearing the word of God. They would be regenerated from above. They would be given new hearts. They're even asking the questions. What must we do? Well, it's simple. You've heard the word of God. Repent of your sins. Call on the name of the Lord. You shall be saved, and you will be given the Holy Spirit, who dwells in every believer. And they did that. And they put their trust in the Lord God. They were. Devout Jews who were dedicated to worshiping God, out of, many of them would have been out of pure tradition. This is just what you do. When Pentecost comes, you go to the temple. You worship God. There were no exceptions. And guess what? There are people just like that that we know oh so well, and maybe not so well, but we run into and we work alongside and we live next to who are devoted religious people. And sometimes it breaks my heart because I think those different religious people are more dedicated to their cause than I am to mine. And it just makes me sad. But like I was saying, I had one particular Catholic today that I see every day, but he never comes to an activity. Never. But he muscled himself out of his bed, wheeling himself down the hallway to my office, knocked on the door, cleared his throat. "Mr. Phillips, yes, how may I help you?" "I was just making sure that we were going to have Ash Wednesday service." "Of course, we're going to have Ash Wednesday service." It put a big old smile on his face. And after it came and went, he went right back to his room, hiked himself back onto his bed, put Fox News back on, and just remained the same person he's always been. It didn't change anything. It didn't cause him to think about anything. He smiled and was thankful that we had the service. But his heart wasn't changed. He's still a dedicated Catholic. He's still a dedicated religious person. And he's still desperately in need of Jesus. So the most educated people, the most great speakers that we have in today's world, they can't save you. What saves you? What Peter did. Using God's word, God saves, using people just like you and me to stand up, proclaim his word, and through that process, hearts are changed. People repent of their sins. They turn away from their sinfulness, they turn to God, they call on his name, and they are saved. And we see this. It changes their life. Their life is changed forever, for all of eternity. Which brings us back to Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. We see that the 3,000 souls that were saved, we see evidence in their lives. They're not the same religious person. They're dedicated no longer to tradition. They're dedicated now to Christ and his teaching and his word. For verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all these things in common. The 3,000 people who didn't have anything in common except that they knew they had to get to the temple to worship God now had all things in common because they all had Christ. Christ is the binding glue that holds us all together. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all that were in need. Because remember, they came from all over the world. And now they were staying. Because they wanted to be with their like-minded believers. They wanted to know more about Jesus. They wanted to know more about the one that died for them and set them free. And day by day, they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. They didn't just come together in the house of the Lord. They came together in their homes. They were constantly worshiping God together, praising God and singing His praises. And again, as I read these verses, I'm convicted in my own self, my own soul, my own heart. Because there's too many times where I feel like God just looks at me as a whiner. Just a spoiled, rotten whiner. Like, why God? Why? Why this? Why that? How about, God, you're awesome. How about, God, thank you for saving me. How about, God, you're incredible. I love you. How about more praises, more thankfulness? For anything. Lifting up His sovereignty, His love, His grace, His mercy, what He has done. I found myself when I've been tempted to whine, I pull out some verses on like a cue card and I just start reading it, and immediately I feel better. Immediately those whines turn to praises. God's Word, God is the answer to all of our problems. We just need to get closer to Him, and the only way we get closer to Him is through His Word. And then we use His Word, we meet together like we are now, but we meet together in each other's houses. And we break bread with each other. And we fellowship and we laugh. Oh, we laugh. We have a good time. But it's always come back. It's always centered around God and what He has done for us. We see that in the book of Acts. These people who heard Peter preach, their hearts were pierced. They repent of their sins and they began living as Christians. Day by day attending, back to Acts 2:46, if I can read it, see, I'm trying to read from a small Bible. Day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They were breaking bread. They were laughing together. They had generous hearts. They were thanking God together for each other. You see, with man's words, one can be encouraged. They can be lifted up. They can be inspired. It can put smiles on their faces. They can feel really good inside. That was a great message. Thank you for that. But only God's Word can change the heart of sinners. Only God's Word can change the heart of the lost, changing their lives, changing their entire lives for all of eternity. So what can change the heart of a sinner? No political speech will do. No great speech from a coach or a colleague. Education? No. The only thing that we'll be able to reach the lost and change the hearts of sinners is if we open up God's Word and do as Peter did. Just stand firm on it. Proclaim His truth in love, but proclaim His truth nonetheless. Proclaiming His Word with our own lives, believing what we say on a daily basis, if not hourly basis. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Do we really believe that? Or is it just something that we say every Sunday? Peter really believed. It was the resurrection. It was the witnessing of the resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit filling him. But he really believed the truth of the gospel message. It turned him from a fearful fisherman to a bold preacher for Christ. It transformed his very life. And he wanted the whole world to know what God has done for him and what God has done for them if they would only believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. That's my challenge to myself. That's my challenge for you guys this evening. To go forth and to use the mighty, perfect Word of God, proclaiming His truth to the lost, the massive amount of lost people out there, giving them one more opportunity to hear the Word of God and to come to Christ, asking you, quite possibly, what must I do? Giving you the opportunity to answer so simply, repent and believe. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. John, would you close us in prayer?